Well, we are in the fourth week of Easter, if you can believe that. And I want to keep reminding you of that every single Sunday, because Easter doesn't really end until one of the Sundays in June, Pentecost. See, in Pentecost is when God sends the Holy Spirit, but up until then, we are people who are just soaking in the Easter story. That really will matter today. We're in the prophet series here at St. Andrew, and so this is our third week, our third prophet, and I promise, just as I have the other two Sundays, I don't think it's all that you think it is. There's always more to meets the eye with the prophets. We'll see that in just a second, but would you pray with me? Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Ezekiel. Ezekiel is a guy that he has gotten recent notoriety because when I was at the grocery store recently, I realized there is now a bread label called Ezekiel 4:9. Have you heard of it? I see some heads nodding. Yeah. So we bought the bread, obviously. Pastor, bread, Ezekiel. We bought it. We got home, and I was in my kitchen yesterday. I was making some avocado toast, and I looked over, and you know, I've been thinking, as pastors, we think about the scriptures for longer here at St. Andrew, especially because we plan these sermon series out about 6 months in advance. So then as you get closer and closer, especially the week of, I've got Ezekiel on the brain. I'm there making my avocado toast, and I'm like, how did some guy from the Bible's name end up on the bread I just bought at Central Market? Like, how does that happen? What's so good about Ezekiel? What's so memorable about him? Ezekiel is one of the longer of the prophets, so that's why he's called a major prophet. And Ezekiel has a ministry. It lasts 22 years long, and he starts when he's about 30 years old. The thing that's really important about him is that it matters when he started. See, he started in 593 BC. And if you know your history at all, about 586 is the destruction and the fall of Jerusalem. Destruction of the first temple. It is a hard time because all of a sudden the people in Jerusalem, they get picked up and moved. They get moved out. The Babylonian captivity, they move out all of these people. But what does that mean for us? Ezekiel, he comes bringing words of warning and of hope, as do all the prophets. Each week I've been trying to remind us it's not always doom and gloom. Sometimes it is. But the key to a prophet in the scripture is that it's paired with hope, like a really good hope, like the kind of hope that you can't get at the store. You can't get it at work. You can't even get it in your marriages or in your families. This kind of hope that literally can only come from God. That's Ezekiel's message. But he does come bearing words of warning, even more so than some of the others, because he is smack dab in the middle of a time of exile. Not only that, when he starts prophesying, he's prophesying to people who have already been relocated. If you think about it, when they're relocated, they're really supposed to start changing their names, taking new spouses, taking new jobs. It changes everything about their lives. Our first scripture today comes from Ezekiel 36. God talks to Ezekiel on and off throughout this whole book, and this is what the Lord says. He sends him with the message, "Therefore say to the Israelites, this is what the sovereign Lord says. It is not for your sake, people of Israel, that I'm going to do these things, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations where you have gone. I will show my holiness and great name, which has been profaned among the nations. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the sovereign God. For I will take you out of the nations, I will gather you from the countries, I will bring you back into your own land, and I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will give you a new heart. I will remove from you the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will remove from you a heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh." Why would Ezekiel say that? He's talking to a people who have been relocated. He's talking to a people who he has told over and over again, if you go this way, it's not going to go well. Have you ever been driving on a road here in DFW and you see, like in your peripheral, the orange construction signs, like right lane closed, okay? And you get closer and closer and you're like, I think I saw that was closed. And then all of a sudden you're right up against the cone because the right lane truly is closed. And it's like, we've had so many things go on in our minds that just happened to me the other day. And it's like, they've changed the right lane, they've changed the left lane. And the whole reason for that orange glaring sign is to tell you which lane you should follow. It will go well with you if you go into the open lane. It will not go well with you if you are the car that's inching up right next to you and realizes, oh my gosh, this lane is closed, right? They're fixing construction because something is wrong with that lane. Something's not right about that. And so they're going to redeem it. They're going to fix it. And just as simple as that, you see, the lanes that are open and closed, the direction that God calls us to or doesn't, it's super important. Sometimes, just like when we're driving, we put it in the on the back burner. And we think, okay, God, I'll get to you later. I'll get to you at Christmas. I'll get to you at Easter. I'll get to you when my baby is confirmed or baptized. I'll get to you when my parent dies. I'll get to you sometime that will be more spiritual than I am right now. And we tell ourselves that sometimes, like as if any given Tuesday is not enough to be spiritual, to be Christian, to be someone who follows Christ in every little decision. And so Ezekiel, he comes and he bears this message, and he basically says, do not go in that lane, it's closed. Don't go there. Don't follow those idols. In a world, this is the ancient Near East, if I'm sure you've already heard me say, they have a buffet of idols, a buffet of gods, none of whom are real. Can you imagine following gods that aren't real? And then can you imagine expecting something from them? What a letdown. What a total letdown. And so when Ezekiel writes, he says, you know what? I know you're exiled right now. You know how he knows? He's with them. He is part of the first deportation, taken into Babylonia. But he says, even though you're not at home, you're far from it, you're being changed, you're being told to take new names, it doesn't even matter, because your job is to look for the open lane. Look for the open lane. Where in your life is the open lane? Where is God calling to you? What is being prepared and paved and is clean and safe to drive on? Is good, it leads to the way of the Lord. And are you driving in it? Like for real, are we following the way of the Lord? That is what Ezekiel comes and he is shaking them by the shoulders saying, oh, you guys, you're missing it. You're trying to drive in the lane and it's damaged. It's a lane of destruction. And he tells them, he prophesies over and over again, see, Jerusalem, it will be destroyed. The temple, it will be destroyed. All of these things, you have focused on the wrong lane. And so because of that, it won't go well with you. That's his first message. But there's always a but there is hope. There's hope, because what does he say? I will give you, the Lord tells Ezekiel, I will give you a new heart. A whole new heart. He's not going to just patchwork the one that you have. He's not just going to shine up like a shoe shine and give you back a better version of what you already have. He says, I'm going to give you a whole new heart. Because right now, what is your heart of? Stone. He says, I'm going to totally replace that heart of stone and make a heart of flesh. And that gets to the key theme of our day today. Old to new, death to life. Old to new. It's a rhythm, death to life. That is, in fact, the rhythm of the Christian faith. Death to life. What was destroyed, redeemed. But he goes on, and this is even more important. He says, I will put my spirit in you, capital S spirit, and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws, to follow and to keep. Go back to when I asked you if you're driving in the lane. Do you know where the lane is that God is calling you? And it's different for all of us. Our lives are all unique. What is the lane God is calling you to embrace? To be the most you in the way you were created, the Imago Dei. Where will God meet you? But you see, it's not just because you'll have a new heart. He says, I'll put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Then you will live in the land I gave your ancestors. You will be my people, and I will be your God. You see, that is the ultimate promise. That's the promise that none of the fake gods can make. Can they? For what fake God, what God that doesn't exist? What idol statue can say, I will be your God? That thing you're worried about, don't sweat it, I'll be your God. They can't. Who alone can say that but Yahweh? And the interesting part is that it takes us into one of the most famous children's stories ever. That little snippet about a new heart. That little snippet seems kind of small, like, okay, Ezekiel. I mean, he writes dozens of chapters. This is already in chapter 36. And we just kind of tuck it away and think, that'll be nice for Pinterest. But you know what? Is that it sets up one of the most famous stories in the whole Bible about transformation, about old to new, about death to life. It sets up the story of the Valley of the Dry Bones. Now, I told you we prepare our sermons about 6 months in advance. And so when Arthur and I were sitting there looking at the prophets and we thought, yes, Ezekiel, obviously. We looked at the calendar. Did we go, Ezekiel, Valley of Dry Bones, Mother's Day? Yes, perfect planning. Hey, the Spirit works how the Spirit works. That's all I gotta say. No, we did not. And here we are. So happy Mother's Day. But also, maybe if you have young kids, this is a good on-ramp, very intriguing story. But the Valley of Dry Bones, are you ready? See, Ezekiel writes, and he writes very personally. It's like we're reading Ezekiel's journal, like his moleskin journal that he keeps on his nightstand. It's like this. He says, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord, he set me in the middle of a valley, and it was full of dry bones. He led me back and forth among them. And I looked around and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley. And the bones, they were so dry. He asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? I said, Sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you, make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, like a rattling sound, and the bones, they started coming together, bone to bone. I looked, and the tendons and the flesh, they appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, breath of the four winds, and breathe into these slain that they may live. They may live. So I prophesied as he commanded, and breath entered them. They came to life. They stood up on their feet, a vast army. And he said to me, Son of man, these bones, these are the people of Israel. They say to me, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore, prophesy to them and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. My people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from out of them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, you'll know. You will know that I am the Lord. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live. And then I will settle in your land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and that I have done it. Ezekiel 37. He says to them, prophesy. You see these valley of dry bones. In your mind's eye right now, what's your valley of dry bones? It's grief, sorrow, anxiety, fear, stress, ruminating thoughts. What is the valley of dry bones? Can you imagine God sending someone, God sending you, and saying, prophesy. Prophesy. These will live. They'll turn from rattly old bones, separated and crunchy and just all over the floor, and they'll assemble, and they'll turn into something beautiful, because what are humans made in the image of? God. They can no longer be anything but beautiful. Once they're attached, they've come together. What was now awful is now beautiful. What was now old is now new. What was dead is what? Alive. And how does that happen? How does it happen? Does it take just Ezekiel in this crazy Halloween imagery to make it happen? No. What? God gave him a command and he did it. And then the best part, my favorite line of the whole thing personally, then you will know that I am the Lord and I have done it. Where in your life do you need to respond like Ezekiel? He says to Ezekiel, can these bones live? Can they? Can they come to life? Can they be beautiful again? Can they actually have the ruach, the spirit, the breath that God first made us with? Can they have it? And he says what? Sovereign Lord, you alone know. Seriously, where in our lives do we need to be better about saying, oh Lord, you alone know. Oh, this one circumstance, this relationship, this work situation, all of the things in your life, your family members, your friends. Hey, sovereign Lord, you alone know. Yeah, but these plans and these hopes that I had, this future that I was trying to craft just the way I want it, this impending wealth or health or anything like that, sovereign Lord, you alone know. Because really, when you're in step with the Spirit and you're in flow with the Holy Spirit, which God has given to each person here who believes in Christ and professes him as Lord, you know what? When you're in flow with the Spirit, you can stand there with confidence and say, sovereign Lord, you alone know. And you know what the best part is? That is enough. For those of us who hope in Christ, it's enough. It truly is. It blows the mind of the world, the watching world, when they see us Christians say, I will trust in God. I will look for the open lane. I will discern it, and I will follow that. Because sovereign Lord, you are the only one who knows. And for me, my job is to follow. That's Ezekiel 36 and 37, to follow and to keep. For sovereign Lord, you alone know. Would you pray with me? Holy and gracious God, we thank you that your wisdom far surpasses anything that our hearts of stone might try to cook up. God, would you give us all the reminder that we now have in us this heart of flesh. You have replaced our hearts of stone. You have given us a calling and a purpose and a mission for this life, and it is so good. God, would you give us the courage and the boldness to keep it and to follow you all the days of our lives. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Join me now for the great Thanksgiving. You'll find it printed for you in your worship folder. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right, and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all of the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church. You delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night that he gave himself up for us, he took bread. He broke it, gave thanks to you, and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.
When the supper was over, likewise he took the cup. He gave thanks to you. He gave it to his disciples, and he said, drink from this, all of you. For this is the blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us, as together we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and the blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen.
Amen. And now, with the confidence of children of God, let us recite the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. At this time, we would like to ask those who are assisting with communion this morning to come forward. Here at St. Andrew, we receive communion by intinction. You'll receive a piece of bread and then just dip it in the cup and take both elements at the same time. If you prefer not to receive communion but would like to receive a blessing, just simply cross your arms across your chest and you'll receive a blessing instead. May God bless us as we come now to his table.